Hello, hello, and hello. In fact, let me say that one more time. Hello, how are you doing? You know what? I'm glad you're with me. Your loyal host, Carl Thornton Jr., hosting the program Speaking With Carl Thornton Jr. And I really am glad you're with me. You know, later this weekend, in fact, tomorrow, Sunday, we're going to talk some more about God's protection. We're also going to resume our discussion of the fact that we can recycle more than we think we can. But tonight, but for now, let's resume the discussion we began on Power Friday of this week, where medical news today is letting us know about some of the benefits to sex. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, there is more to sex than you might think. I mean, there is so much benefit. Now, that said, let me give this caveat that I normally like to share. It goes like this. This can really be working. Especially when, I'm not going to say only when, but we're talking about sexual intercourse, all right? And the reality is, there are people who really enjoy coming together. Some people, it's all about the physical. And that's it. Now, I tell you, there can be a lot of major disadvantages to engaging sexually when it's just for fun, just casual for fun sex. A lot of disadvantages, a lot of potential risks involved. Two people are committed to each other. I mean, truly committed to each other. Even though they're only dating or they're only engaged, the sexual part of their relationship can be taken to another level compared to when people are just casually coming together sexually. However, I do recommend, if you really want things to go really, really, really well, really right, to make sexual engagement exclusive to the person, to someone you're married to. And so I would encourage you, if you're dating, be strong, be patient, and wait until you're married. If you're engaged, be strong, both of you, males and females. Sometimes the man is the one who wants to go ahead and get things going. Sometimes it's the lady who wants to get things going. Both of you, I would encourage you, be strong and patient and wait until you're married. And, you know, I've said before, I wish I had waited. I wish I had, you know, I was in love with my girlfriend when I was in high school. And I didn't wait. We didn't wait. Just in general principle, I wish I had waited. I wish I had been a virgin when I married. That's my preference. I've said before, I don't beat myself up over it, but that is my preference. I really, really would have done so much better had I waited until marriage so that I could say, hey, you know what? The only woman I've ever had sexual intercourse with is my wife. But I knew someone else before I met her and loved her. I mean, truly loved her and wanted to marry her at the time. That was the plan, that we would eventually marry. That didn't work out, didn't happen, but you know, and I'm sharing that because I want you to know I'm not beating up on you either. I know sometimes people can just assume that, you know, if someone says, hey, this might be the better way to go, that we're coming down on folks who don't go that way. I'm not. You know, there are other things that have nothing to do with sex that I think are better. It's a whole lot better to be an honest person than to be a dishonest person. I encourage people who are dishonest to stop being dishonest, but I'm not going to beat them up for being dishonest. I think it's a whole lot better to be patient than it is to be a hothead. But I'm not going to beat up on the people who are hotheads. I would encourage you, you know, take whatever steps are necessary to become more patient. Stop being a hothead. But I'm not going to come down on a person for being a hothead. So I'm not coming down on people for engaging sexually when they're not married. Now, but that said, I do want to encourage you, if you have not, you're not married and you haven't become sexually engaged yet, hats off to you. Stay that course. Stay that course. Wait until you're married. Now, that's it. What I'm going to be sharing with regards to the benefits of sexual intercourse have to do with sex in the context of marriage. Okay, now, we've taken care of those preliminaries. Continuing from where we left off on Friday. Benefits of having a great sex life, especially when husband and wife truly love each other, husband and wife truly honor each other, husband and wife are friends to each other, may consider each other to be their closest friend. The husband considers the wife to be his closest friend. The wife considers her husband to be her closest friend. You can't ask for much more than that. I mean, there's more. I mean, you let them be truly loving each other, truly honoring each other, truly engaged in friendship with each other, and you take with that both of them have our Creator as the most important person in their lives, ladies and gentlemen, you're talking about relationship. And that's when sexual intercourse can really be great. I want to encourage you, those of you who are married and you're not honoring each other as you should, and remember now, engaging in adultery is one of the ways to dishonor, to disrespect, to diss your spouse. I want to encourage you, stop doing that. So many men and so many women have convinced themselves that the way that they're really going to be able to enjoy life, so many husbands and so many wives, let me not say men and women now, I'm talking about husbands and wives. So many husbands and so many wives have convinced themselves, even from the beginning of their marriage, that the best way that they're going to really be able to enjoy life is by having sex with someone other than their spouse. They'll go ahead and cook and clean and get the cars repaired and do the yards. They'll do all those kinds of things for the household, knowing that their spouse is going to benefit from what they're doing. But when it comes to truly honoring each other, truly loving each other the way a couple should love each other when they're married, the way they should love each other. I'm not saying there's no love at all, but when adultery is part of the equation, the love is not there the way it should be. Because when love is there the way it should be, adultery will not be part of the equation. When we're honoring each other the way we should be honoring each other, adultery will not be part of the equation. So I want to encourage you, don't keep convincing yourself that the only way you can really enjoy life is by enjoying sex with someone other than your spouse. If there are problems in the marriage that have caused problems with the sex, definitely pray and ask the one who created our souls and our bodies to intervene and help us overcome the problems that are standing in the way of a great sex life. Each of you commit to doing what you need to do to allow love and honor to flow. And if prayer alone does not get the job of restoration done and renewal done, maybe even releases from something that may have taken hold on you as a result of the adultery, prayer, someone who can work with you in getting the release you want, and that may include someone who works in the spiritual arena. It may be someone who is skilled at counseling. You may need both. Someone who is skilled at working in the spiritual arena and someone else who's skilled in counseling. Whatever it takes, give yourselves the opportunity to really be fulfilled the right way. Forgiving each other, loving each other, honoring each other, letting the relationship be made new as each of you is made new. And when I say each of you is made new, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying or even suggesting that if there's a problem with the relationship, both of you messed it up. No, maybe, maybe not. In some cases, both partners do mess up the relationship. In other cases, many other cases, only one of the partners messes the relationship up. Ladies and gentlemen, it only takes one to mess it up. And I mean to make a mess of it. And then there's a lot of pain. Even when there's only one person messing it up, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of disappointment. There can be physiological responses as a result of the mess that was made. And you got stuff. You can find that there's stuff going on in the person who made the mess and stuff going on in the heart, the mind, the soul, even in the body of the person who was betrayed. In whatever ways that person may have been betrayed. And so both will need release, renewal, restoration. And you can move on to really enjoying each other so that you really enjoy the marriage. And in enjoying the marriage as part of that, really enjoying sexual intercourse exclusively with each other. Okay, so that said, foundation having been laid again, let's look at some of these benefits of sex. How about this one to start the day off? The reduction of the risk of prostate cancer. How many of you would like to be healthy as possible? Including having no issues with cancer. Well, men who frequently ejaculate could be protected against prostate cancer, which is the most common cancer among men in America. The most common cancer. Now, y'all be following along with me now, because at some point I may be forced to ask you some quiz questions. All right. So, again, the most common cancer among men, prostate cancer, and you may be able to reduce the risk of it by engaging sexually. Research led by Michael Leitzman, who's from the National Cancer Institute in Bethesda, published in JAMA, discovered that men who ejaculated 21 times per month or more were a third less likely to develop prostate cancer than men who ejaculated between 4 and 7 times per month. Now, I'll be honest with you. I would have thought that 4 to 7 times per month would be plenty. Maybe it is plenty. But in order to reduce the risk of prostate cancer even more, 21 times per month. And so you'll be engaging sexually, just averaging this out, roughly 5 times per week. Can you imagine being with someone who you truly, truly love, you two truly love each other, you two truly honor each other, you're friends, and you're married, and you're learning how to manage your time so that you're not just wearing yourselves out doing this kind of work and that in school and this at your place of worship and that at your place of worship and this for the civic responsibility, civic duty, and that civic activity and this. You learn to pull back on the activities so that you have time to rest. You have time to relax. You have time to unwind as part of your weekly rhythm. Part of your daily rhythm of life. Rest. And in balancing that life so well, you find that you and your spouse are able to come together sexually 5 times a week. That doesn't sound like too much, does it? Husband and wife enjoying each other to the max 5 times a week. Because remember now, what greater way, what higher level of intimacy is there? Coming together sexually, coming together in a way that you both have agreed you will not come together with anyone else on earth. You may laugh with other people. You may eat with other people. You may ride down the highway heading to a conference with other people. You may be in a plane flying someplace with other people. But when it comes to sexual intercourse, you only do that with your spouse. Can you imagine once we're flowing with each other the way we should be? The joy that we have engaging with each other sexually, bringing together our minds, our spirits, our hearts, our souls, our bodies, bringing together all that we are, our emotions. We're both excited about being with each other. I know it can take some time to get there, especially if we've made a mess, but let's just assume that we're cleaning up the mess thoroughly and completely, starting over, even if it's been 15 years, 28 years, we're starting over. We're still together. We're going to go ahead and start over and do this right. Can you imagine coming together? And listen now, when it's that way, again, 4 to 7 times per month, hey, that's not bad. So you talk, let's say if it's 7 times per month, you know, 4 times a month, you're talking roughly once a week. I know we have some weeks that, I mean, some months that have 5 weeks, but on average, you know, most of the time, we're looking at 4 weeks. So 4 times per month, you're talking about once a week. 7 times, a little bit more than once a week. 21 times per month, roughly 5 times per week, and it reduces the risk of the man developing prostate cancer by 33% more than the person who only ejaculates 4 to 7 times. Leitzman and team have a number of theories as to why increased ejaculation may help to prevent prostate cancer, and I will share those with you in just a few minutes.